Amen. If you have your Bibles, open up to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 15. We're going to look at verses 1 through 20 this morning as we continue our series all the way through, Lord willing, the Gospel of Matthew. If you don't have your own copy of God's words, no problem at all. You just grab the Pew Bible there in front of you and open up to page 820. Matthew chapter 15, beginning verse 1. If you've got your Bibles open there, I'm going to ask you if you would go ahead and stand with me out of reverence for the reading of the words of our God. Matthew writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in such a way that as the words on this page are being read, God himself is speaking to you and to me. Verse 1. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." He answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'Whoever reviles father or mother must surely die.' But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father.' So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' And he called the people to him and said to them, 'Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person.' And then the disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?' And he answered, 'Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides, and if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit.' But Peter said to him, 'Explain the parable to us.' And he said, 'Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone.'" Let's pray together. Oh God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his gospel. And we thank you for this opportunity we have to gather in your name. And Lord, I pray as we hear your word preached today, God, I pray we'll be changed by its power. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. She came to my office immediately. I mean, as soon as the altercation was over, came straight here to the church. Of all things, the tiff, it was over Christmas presents. And so I was standing there in the front office of the church, and as we were standing there, she began to tell me the story. We go back to my office, and she tells me the whole deal, everything that happened. Each and every year, she goes on to tell me, she would make candy for her friends at Christmas time. In particular, it was Divinity. If you've ever had Divinity, it's divine. It's wonderful. It's a great little candy. This particular year, however, another friend could not reciprocate. This other friend. And the friend told her, said, we can't give you a gift this year, so please don't bring Divinity. I'd be embarrassed if you brought Divinity to my house." Well, as I'm sure you can imagine, that just was not an option. And so she took the candy to the lady's house, and then her friend refused it. She said, I don't want it. I've already said we're not doing this, and so you can take it with you." So the friend closed the door, and the lady that came to see me, she takes the candy, takes the Divinity, and she puts it on the porch and goes into her car and comes straight to me. Comes straight to the church. And she says, "So she's telling me all this." And I was like, "Okay. All right." And she says, "Was I wrong to do that?" And I'm thinking, we didn't talk about this in ethics class at seminary. And finally, in exasperation, she looks at me and says, "What was I supposed to do? I mean, just strike her from my Divinity list?" Like it's the Lamb's Book of Life. Like there's just nothing you can do. Once you're on it, there's no getting off. It's the Hotel California of Christmas gift lists. Here's the reality. All of us are this way. We sort of laugh a little bit, and all these folks who are with the Lord now, sadly, breaks my heart. But I will say, one of the challenges you have as a pastor when you've been at the same church for almost 13 years is that, you know, I can't tell all my stories. As many of you are here, and I can't tell stories about you. So, sadly, these folks are with the Lord. But we're all this way, aren't we? I mean, we sort of laugh at it. It's kind of funny. I love to tell my friends. I once encountered at another church, I was speaking at another church, and I once encountered a years-long scandal over tomato aspic. Okay? This was served at a luncheon, and I walked through, and I saw tomato aspic, and then, I saw new aspic and old aspic. And I said, there's a story there. And I talked to the pastor, and sure enough, there was a story. I can tell you sometime. Maybe I'll save that one for I'll save a potato for another meal here. I'll use that as an illustration another time. Here's the thing. All of us are like this. We all have unwritten rules we live by. Don't we? I mean, we all have unwritten rules. Here in the South especially. I mean, almost all of our rules seem to be unwritten. I mean, we're so good at creating unwritten rules because it would kind of be tacky to say them out loud. That's how we feel as Southerners. You know, you don't say it. That ruins it. We do. I mean, just in the story I told a second ago, unless you can reciprocate, you should not accept a gift. It's an unwritten rule. It's impolite to give a gift just to receive one in return. That first rule is a rock. This second rule is a hard place. And sometimes those two things come together. The Christmas divinity list is sacrosanct and cannot be edited under any circumstances. It's an unwritten rule that must be upheld. And listen, I don't have any problems with unwritten rules. We all have them. We all think about them. We all live by them in some way or another. But they become dangerous. They can be dangerous. Man-made rules can become dangerous when the name of the Lord gets involved with them. And let me tell you, even as Southerners, we have a tendency to do this with some of the silliest of things. And I've had conversation after conversation with pastors who have gotten themselves in a real pickle over something that had nothing to do with the Bible or the Lord Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit or the gospel of the Lord, any of these kinds of things. All sorts of silly things that pastors I've heard have been held accountable for that had nothing to do with the Bible. Can get dangerous. And it's precisely what the Pharisees had done. You see, that they were more concerned in this passage with the, quote, tradition of the elders than they are the Word of God. And as you can tell from the arc they have in the Gospels, it becomes spiritually disastrous for them. You see, the Pharisees came to a place where they were willing to settle for man-made holiness. Conformity to a code that they had created, but not conformity by faith to the Word of God. But friends, we cannot settle for man-made holiness. And I'm kind of dunking on the Pharisees a little bit, but don't you think us as Baptists here in the South sometimes settle for man-made holiness rather than striving for true, Word-based, God-given holiness? I want to show you 3 points this morning. 3 points I think will help each of us here today grow in true, genuine, authentic holiness. 3 points this morning about true holiness that I hope will help us each grow in true holiness. Here's point number one. True holiness, genuine holiness, is weighed by the Word. True holiness is weighed by the Word. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? You've seen throughout the Gospel of Matthew where from time to time people will travel to hear or to see someone. Many traveled out to hear John the Baptist preach. Remember this? They would go out into the wilderness to go hear him. And so the Pharisees and Sadducees have come from Jerusalem to see Jesus. And you might ask yourself, man, have they heard about his great deeds? Have they heard about these things? Is it starting to click with them finally? No. Pharisees are coming, and they're simply coming to ask them why they're not washing their hands. This is such a funny little thing to me. You know, it's such a great example of straining gnats and swallowing camels, right? So we're going to go out from Jerusalem. We're going to talk to Jesus, but we really need to find out why they're not going through ceremonial hand washing. Isn't this interesting? I mean, it starts to put many of the things that Jesus talked about throughout his ministry into context. Where, for example, he would tell a story about a man who had been hurt on the side of the road, and a scribe walking by him, or a Pharisee walking by him, and then the Samaritan stopping to help. You juxtapose that, those folks ignoring people that genuinely need help, and you show the sort of time and resources that would often go into figuring out the tiniest little minutia of something. Just coming to nitpick at Jesus. And so they came from Jerusalem, and they say, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." And he answered them, "And why do you break the commandments of God?" I love this. Jesus doesn't really give any quarter to silly questions, and I love that. He doesn't stop and say, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I guess we'll start washing our hands now, going through the ceremonial cleansing of our hands before we eat." By the way, any children in the room today, if mom says wash your hands, that is a law of man that you must obey. In fact, Jesus says here to honor your father and your mother, okay? And so I don't want to hear of anyone today coming home and say, "Well, Jesus says I don't have to wash my hands," okay? Now, if your mom says, "If you want to make God happy, you should wash your hands," that's another conversation, and we'll all sit down together and have that conversation. She's not trying to make you holy. She's trying to help you stay healthy, okay? Help her help you. The Pharisees, they're concerned about their man-made traditions, but Jesus is confronting them here about the way they follow their tradition at the expense of the Word of God. Again, there's not necessarily anything wrong with unwritten rules until we start to follow them as opposed to the Word of God. Do you see what Jesus says? What about you? Why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded. This is in the Bible. This is something God said. Honor your father and your mother. What else did God say? Whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. I love this. Jesus is showing how seriously God takes this commandment. By the way, sometimes we treat honor your father and your mother like a little commandment, like something just for children even, right? But this is something that is very important. In fact, it is a fundamental building block of what it means for a society to function and flourish, is for children to honor and respect and obey their parents. And to honor their parents for all their life. It's part of what makes society society, because family is the fundamental building block of society. And so Jesus confronts them, and he shows how serious it is. I mean, there's even a place where there's the death penalty, right, when you cease to do this. Jesus is showing the seriousness of it. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, "What you would have gained from me is given to God," he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites. They break the law. They neglect to aid their needy parent. And in order to fulfill man's tradition, Jesus is referring to here a practice that was known as Corban. And it was the idea that if you gave something to the temple or gave something to the Lord, then that would alleviate you from certain commands of the law that required you to provide money or monetary or physical needs for some certain folks, in particular their parents. And so it was a way, sort of, where you could, instead of doing this, you could do that. Well, Jesus says, well, you're breaking the law to follow your traditions. And he goes on to say, so for the sake of tradition, you have made void, for the sake of tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites, Jesus says. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Friends, I'm going to go ahead and tell you this right now. We like our rules better than we like God's. For one, we tend to make up rules we can follow. We care if other people can, but we tend to make up rules we can follow. We tend to focus also on rules that make it easy for us to seem holy. People can see our holiness. People can see what we're doing. Here's the problem, though, with our rules. Our rules are fickle. They change. They're culturally bound. They change from one place to another. We can have a tendency, though, to value our rules above God's rules, even though God's word is always the same. It never changes. It's always the same. But the Pharisees in their self-righteousness got to a place where they valued their own rules more than they valued God's word, even to the point that God himself had come into the world, and they traveled from Jerusalem to where Jesus was, simply not to worship him. Have you ever thought about this? Pagans came. When Jesus was just a baby, pagans came. They followed a star to come and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. They came from hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, I would assume at least, miles away to worship Jesus. And yet these, quote, godly people see God himself. And not only have they've seen way more than a star now. They've seen miracles. They've seen Jesus do these amazing things. And instead of coming to worship him, they come to correct him about following something that's not even in the Bible. Oh, what a shame. And do you see the way that this self-righteousness blinds them? This attitude is the kind of attitude that just says, we are right, so we can't be wrong. We're right. I mean, we've got the corner on the God market, right? We're Pharisees. We've got the corner on the God market, right? We're the Southern we're Pharisees. We're right. We're right on this and we're right on that, right? We honor God as holy. We care about not only his word, but also the commandments of men, the traditions of the elders. We are the ones, if we stop obeying God, what will this world come to? We're right. So we can't be wrong. And then Jesus comes in confronting them on these things. And so in their minds, he's wrong, so he can't be right. And friends, this sort of thinking and this sort of attitude is the kind of thing that is spiritual death for us. It's such self-righteousness, because what it does is it creates a wall. It creates a wall between any sort of hope from the Bible, from God, from friends, from people even outside our camp. It creates a wall between anything that could get through to us and our hearts. We're right, they said, so we can't be wrong. But friends, we have to remember, we don't weigh holiness by man's thoughts, by our own self-righteousness, by our own commandments, by our own wisdom, by our own ability to keep God's law, but much less God's law, to keep our own law. We don't weigh it by that. We weigh holiness by God's word. And if we are not holy according to his word, we are not holy. We are no better than anyone else. True holiness is weighed by the word. But second of all, true holiness is given by God. Verses 10 and 11, Jesus tells a little parable, a little saying, to explain why he's rejecting this notion from the Pharisees. He says, "Hear and understand, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what emerges out of the mouth, this defiles a person." And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But the disciples come to him after he says this and says, Lord, I need to tell you something. You're going to find this hard to believe, but the Pharisees are offended again. By the way, self-righteous people spend their lives offended by everything. Right? You know why? Because when you're self-righteous, anything that says something bad about you in the slightest is the end of your world. And frankly, it's an attack on your God, is it not? When we walk around life, I'll say this, if you find yourself constantly offended, constantly frustrated, constantly in a state of agitation at what someone else has said about you, or worried about how someone feels about you, or all these kinds of things, start asking yourself a little bit about where you are finding your righteousness. Peter comes to Jesus. Hey, boss, I need to let you know, the Pharisees, you may not know this, but the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying. I love Jesus' answer. So we don't need to be worried about them. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're doing. Listen to how Jesus says it. Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. Don't listen to them. Leave them alone. Who cares? It's all gonna work out one way or the other. And if you want to follow them, if you want to be worried about them, eventually you're going to be led into a pit because they don't know where they're going. God's going to deal with them. Because any plant that my Father has planted, he will take to be with him. But any plant that my Father hasn't planted, he's going to pluck up and throw out. What Jesus is saying here is, let's just be worried about what God is doing. There's all kinds of things going on in the world that God's not up to, but let's be worried about what God is doing, because what Jesus is ultimately trying to say here, I think, is the sort of holiness that the Pharisees are trying to act like they have is actually only given by God. And what's going on in their lives and the fruit that they're bearing is not the fruit of the Lord. Jesus is going to say this in even more explicit terms. He's going to associate the work of the Pharisees with the work of the devil himself. I think just in the very next chapter. Friends, true holiness is something only God can give us. We must, if we want to grow in genuine holiness, if we really want to become more like God, we must be a plant planted by God. And there's only one way to receive that life, that nourishment from the Lord. It's through his Holy Spirit. And there's only one way to receive his Holy Spirit, and that's by his grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must trust Jesus. Do you hear me, friends? We must trust Jesus if we want to have the true holiness that's given by God. True holiness is weighed by the word. It's given by God. And finally, true holiness is a matter of the heart. I think you'll remember Jesus had said that what enters into the mouth doesn't defile a person, but what comes out of the mouth. Peter has told Jesus the Pharisees weren't happy about this, and Peter says, Jesus says to Peter, let's not worry about them. And then Peter says to him, verse 15, explain the parable to us. Peter's like, can you just tell me what's going on here? Are you still without understanding, Jesus says? Do you not see that whatever, verse 17, goes into the mouth, passes into the stomach, and then is expelled? In other words, you're just eating food. What does that do to your soul? It doesn't really do anything. But he says this, but what comes out of the mouth? What goes into the mouth doesn't defile you. What comes out of the mouth, though? That defiles a person. How? Because out of the heart come evil thoughts. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person, for out of the heart come evil thoughts. That is our actions, not just what we say, but all that we do is downstream from our heart. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. I think with all my heart, that so much self-righteousness is essentially a castle, a wall, a barricade that we're trying to build around our hearts. We want to do everything we can to keep folks, to keep the Lord, to keep the Holy Spirit, to keep his word, to keep our own thoughts away from right here. I see this all the time as a pastor. All the time. You see it all the time. Somebody's done something, I don't know how bad it is. It doesn't matter how bad it is. From the most benign sin to the most horrible sins I've heard of, one of the most common sentences you hear from folks is this: well, I mean, I'm really not a bad person. I just did this one thing. Right? I just did this one thing. I talk about this sometimes. I do the same exact thing. I mean, it's just this one thing. Well, do you know what Jesus is saying here? Let's own it. Let's square up on it pretty well. Jesus is saying that one thing, right? Whatever it is, just that one thing. It's not just something you did. It came from your heart, right? And if there's bad stuff coming from the heart, what does that say about us? If there's bad fruit coming from the tree of the heart, what does that say about the tree? You see, the Pharisees would say over and over and over again, we're right, so we can't be wrong. That's what self-righteousness does. It convinces us that we're actually right, that everything about us is right. We may have a problem here and there, but in all actuality, in all reality, we're right. And even when we're not, at least we're not like those other folks. You know the type. You know how they act. You know what they do. You know how they vote. You know how they think. You know how they worship. You know what they look like. You know how they dress. You know what they do. You know those other people. At least I'm not like them. They're wrong, so they can't be right. And I'm right, so I can't be wrong. But what Jesus is saying, as he's cutting through this self-righteousness, not only is he cutting through the self-righteousness of the Pharisees, but he's cutting through mine as well. And as we're trying to do everything we can not to own the state of our hearts, what Jesus is pressing in on each and every one of us today is this: our hearts are wrong. Our lives are broken. We are sinners. We need help. Our hearts are wrong, and only God through Christ can make us right. Friends, I want you to throw your self-righteousness out the window. It's the hardest thing in the world to do. I tell anyone who will listen, I'm a recovering Pharisee. There's no question about that. I spent so much of my life wanting to justify myself, wanting so badly to be right so I couldn't be wrong, without knowing how wrong my heart really was. Friends, I don't know what unwritten rules it is that you're following. I don't know what man-made rules it is that you're trying to keep up with. But do you see what Jesus is offering here? These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. Jesus came into the world not to try to give us some new fresh things to help manage our sin and to manage our problems. Jesus came here to give us a new heart, to help deal with what actually defiles us. Are you tired of manufacturing your own holiness? Are you tired of trying to please man? Or are you tired of trying to do away with your own guilt? This morning, I want to invite you, I want to encourage you, turn to Jesus. He is the only one that can give us true holiness. Holiness that can be weighed against the word. Holiness that is given by God. And holiness that genuinely changes our hearts. I want to offer an invitation this morning. If you've never put your trust or faith in Jesus before, I want to offer you the opportunity today. I believe with all my heart, if you turn from your sins in repentance and turn to God in faith through Jesus, you will be saved. And so today, if you're dependent on your own self-righteousness, your own personal righteousness, what a good person you are. I'm right, Pastor. I can't be wrong. Maybe Jesus is breaking through today to show you, to expose your heart, for you to realize you need it to be made new through the gospel. I'd love to talk with you this morning if you need someone to talk with, or you can do business with the Lord right where you are. Second of all, you may be a Christian. You may say, Pastor, I need you to pray with me, or I just need some time at the altar. Or you might do business right where you are. But you might say, I've got some soul searching to do to make sure my holiness is genuine and not man-made. You do the business with the Lord when the time comes. Finally, you may be looking for a church home. What a joy it would be today for me to talk to you about what it means to be a member here, First Baptist Church. After this prayer, I want to invite you to come forward. I want to invite you to do business with the Lord. Let's pray together.